This is Mae Bressel. It's broadcast number 676, November the 19th, 1984. And this is side two of the broadcast. The Solidaires also, besides being within the Soviet Union, were distributed all through the United States and to various countries overseas. And the Dallas-Fort Worth people that Lee and Marina associated with were all members of Allen Dulles Reinhard Gehlen's Solidaires. Now, George de Morenschild, the mentor of Lee and Marina Oswald, who met them in June 62 when they came home from the Soviet Union and provided the introductions for the ways they would get jobs, the way he would get jobs, housing, and so forth. George de Morenschild testified in Volume 9 of the Warren Commission hearings, page 267, that he wanted to tell Albert Jenner, the attorney, about the Solidaris. So he went on and explained that it was a political party of Russian refugees, and he mentioned Mr. and Mrs. Voshinin, who live in the Dallas area, that are members of the Solidaris, pro-American group of Russian refugees. He says they're a pretty well-known political party. Their headquarters are in Germany. So that was, interestingly enough, that he didn't identify it as the Gehlen operation, but he worked for our Defense Department and for our spy teams, and he did know that the location of the headquarters was in Germany, which was Reinhard Gehlen's BND. Now, the Torbett document goes into another person or persons that begin to get close to the Ronald Reagan administration in his early career. And the Torbett document says another organization participating with Division 5 was the religious group called the American Council of Christian Churches. And the West Coast representative was Edgar Eugene Bradley, who was indicted by the New Orleans grand jury for conspiracy in the assassination of John Kennedy. And J. Edgar Hoover wanted Edgar Eugene Bradley to be president of the United States. He had once had, there were campaign records in 1954. And Bradley worked for a close friend of J. Edgar, who was a close friend, Reverend Carl McIntyre. They began their work in 1941, after Pearl Harbor, when the OSS was set up. J. Edgar Hoover sent agents over to London, and the books by Kim Philby and about Kim Philby, the spy, tell how J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI sent agents to London with the OSS, and Carl McIntyre helped a worldwide organization in the United States and Latin America to use the American Council of Christian Churches with the headquarters in New York City for espionage, to organize espionage and intelligence, and they were the people that set up the assassination team down in Mexico. And J. Edgar Hoover coordinated all of this through Division 5 of the FBI. And Mr. Bradley was not extradited to New Orleans to stand trial with the evidence that Jim Garrison had, for the simple reason that Edwin Meese III refused to send him. The Monterey Herald has a story going back to those days when Jim Garrison was trying to get him extradited, and Ed Meese and Ronald Reagan refused to do it. But there were a lot of good reasons why they refused, and it didn't seem to make that much sense in those days. But the Ronald Reagan church group and using the church for political espionage activities began, as I say, early in his career. And because Bradley and McIntyre link to the church groups that are also tied into Reagan's friends and co-workers, of course he wasn't going to send Mr. Bradley back to New Orleans. That's the American Council of Christian Churches with Edgar Eugene Bradley and Carl McIntyre working for the FBI. Also in this same saga, the Torbett document, there's a list of principal financiers of Permandex. Permandex, I've mentioned many, many times, is the organization, the front, set up for assassination teams that looks like a business operation but isn't and wasn't, with many millions of dollars, I suppose, in their hands, goodness knows how much, that included Clay Shaw of the OSS and the CIA, and H.L. Hunt of Dallas and Clint Murchison, John DeMille of Schlumberger, John Connolly. But the only two I want to mention right now, because I've mentioned many of them before, is Dr. Ochsner from New Orleans and Roy Cohn, the attorney from Lionel Corporation in New York, who was part of Permandex, as was Dr. Ochsner. Now, this last week, there was an article in the Village Voice about Roy Cohn, Cohen's Catholic Connections, and in the new book, The American Pope, about Cardinal Spellman, it makes the allegations that Roy Cohn was the conduit between Cardinal Spellman and J. Edgar Hoover. Now, Spellman hated John Kennedy and liked Richard Nixon, and Roy Cohn worked with Richard Nixon in the House Un-American Activities and had an early history helping the career of Richard Nixon in the Congress. So this new allegation in the book claims that he was a conduit between Spellman, an organizer of the Knights of Malta, of course, out of the Archdiocese in New York, and very political, and the law office of Sachs, Bacon, and Bolin. That is the Roy Cohn office, but they don't have his name on it. Mr. Bolin is a Knight of Malta. I mentioned that before. They represent and do the law work for the Catholic Archdiocese of New York. Spellman was the Cardinal of Vietnam, a very political cardinal. And, of course, the Vietnam War gave many weapon contracts to people like John de Menil of Schlumberger or Brown and Root and the various people mentioned here. It was a very profitable war for these people, and none of them, of course, were killed. It was a lot of business and a lot of bucks. And the other name that is in the Torba document that came out in 1970 is Dr. Ochsner. Now, right after the assassination, within hours of the assassination, maybe 1 hour, there were pictures on the television of Lee Harvey Oswald saying he was a Marxist. And Ed Butler, a fellow from an organization called INCA, I-N-C-A, Information Council of America, which he described as a private, non-profit educational organization, made a record called Lee Harvey Oswald Speaks. But before the record was made, he was on the television, and you heard in Oswald's own words that he was a Marxist. What they didn't tell you about that speech was the role that Ed Butler had with military intelligence, or that he worked for Patrick Frawley in California, Patrick Frawley from Technicolor and Chick Razor Blades, and very profitable, and Technicolor. The Technicolor films and the Chick and the fountain pen, the ballpoint pen, that's one of the first things he and a friend of hers, Ed Edinger, invented, was the ballpoint pen, the Papermate pen. So he had three huge businesses going. And Mr. Patrick Frawley, a Knight of Malta, and his wife is a Dame of Malta, very conservative Catholic, was the man, the original man, behind the career of Ronald Reagan, going way back to the early days in California, gathering the kitchen cabinet. He was the rock bottom base of Reagan's career, and he also hired and was literally the godfather of Ed Butler, who just coincidentally was making the record in New Orleans that would seal the fate of Oswald, a Marxist. Now, the record says Lee Harvey Oswald speaks his own words. The reason Oswald of military intelligence, or CIA and FBI, and Butler could make a record together would be for the reason that Lee Harvey Oswald was going down to Mexico to apply to go into Cuba. And he could do spying in Cuba like he did in the Soviet Union, drawing tractor sites, watching airplanes above, and having a secretary when he came home, Mrs. Bates, to dictate the notes of what he saw when he was a spy in the Soviet Union. So overtly, Oswald had to hand out handbills in front of Clayshaw's trademark and be photographed. The cameras were on him. And he had to give a radio program, an interview with Ed Butler, so that the pro-Castro Cubans could say his bona fides are good. Here's a guy who seems to like us. So he was used by Butler, who is, I say, a protege and just a right arm of Patrick Frawley in the New Orleans scene. Now, on the back of the record, the album, there's a picture of Ed Butler. Then there's a picture of Senator Thomas Dodd. There's three men that speak on the record, and one of them is Dr. Alton Ochsner, mentioned in the Torba document as being a funder of the Permandex assassination team. So here, these four men are on the album. One, Ed Butler of Army Intelligence, who makes the interview with Oswald. Two is Dr. Alton Ochsner, famed surgeon, past president of the American Cancer Society, president of INCA, with Ed Butler. Now, Ochsner also is on the board with Patrick Frawley out in California, and we'll go into that, and he's part of Permandex. And Ochsner is saying, we now know that by killing President Kennedy, Oswald diverted attention from Cuba and wanted to prolong Castro's power. The other person, one of the persons on the album, is the Honorable Hale Boggs, Congressman from Louisiana, who becomes a member of the Warren Commission. And on the album, he says that within a few hours after President Kennedy's death, I sat with Ed Butler in my office in the Capitol and listened to this recording. So Hale Boggs is going to be put on the Warren Commission by Lyndon Johnson. And within hours of when Kennedy was killed, Hale Boggs is told through Oswald's own voice via Ed Butler that Oswald is a Marxist. So one member of the Warren Commission already knows what he wants to think, and there's no reason to go to many meetings, and he didn't. Another person on the album who has a voice in the matter is Senator Thomas Dodd, described as vice chairman of the Senate Internal Security Subcommittee, former prosecutor of the Nazi criminals at Nuremberg, you know, the one that got off, the former special agent of the FBI, who says Oswald was a simple crackpot who acted without any understanding or motivation. But this important record demolishes that because he was a Marxist. He wasn't a simple crackpot. So you've got Hale Boggs, Senator Dodd, Boggs working with Ed Butler, and the Warren Commission, Dodd from Nuremberg and the FBI having a motive in the assassination. Now, one of the people who released all the Nazis that Dodd prosecuted at Nuremberg was John J. McCloy, who was put on the Warren Commission, and one prosecutor, the other locked up the door, the other one let him out the door. And the Nazis, like Walter Dornberger and the Solidaris de Bornschild, are used in the murder of John Kennedy, and they made this very nice record about Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, the record has a lot to say, of course, on Oswald being a very idealistic Marxist. It doesn't prove any particular point except for the fact that he is describing that that's his political leaning. And then as soon as Oswald is arrested and killed, out comes the record. Now, Ed Butler, as I say, worked for Patrick Frawley. Frawley was very close to Ronald Reagan, to Richard Nixon, to the John Birch Society, and the Vatican, all at the same time. So the people like H.L. Hunt, who started the John Birch Society, Hunt was close to the Mormon Church, I believe, a Mormon wife and a Protestant wife. He was not a Catholic, H.L. Hunt. But the Vatican, the Birch Society, and the Mormons meld together in many ways that I'll explain as much as I have time for tonight. The Information of Council of Americas on this record was set up, as I say, by Army intelligence and close ties to the Vatican and to Cardinal Spellman, Mr. Patrick Frawley. And he also was described in the book Danger on the Right as the man who brought in the Christian anti-communist crusade, and I've mentioned this on other broadcasts. He's appeared with H.L. Hunt on Lifeline. Now, Warren Carroll of the CIA wrote for Lifeline and also worked with Jack Ruby, and I believe had mind-controlled him to be a hero. And so this Frawley's career is very rich in the business opportunities he had, and then he takes his money and parlays it to these social political groups, such as Ed Butler, who's involved with counterintelligence. Now, one time, Mr. Frawley was in trouble with the Justice Department in 1970, and he had to either sell his electric shaver or the wet shaving. So he decided to put the ownership, give part of it to Mr. Warner Lambert, the Warner Lambert Company, to Elmer Bobbs. He sold the wet shaving part to Warner Lambert, and Frawley remained the president of it. Now, Warner Lambert, with Elmer Bobbs as the head of it, was the gentleman who signed for Otto von Bolschwing to travel all over Europe. Bolschwing was Eichmann's superior, the head of the Romanian Iron Guard. He was in charge of taking property and material from the Jews in Holland, setting up the Nazi desk in Palestine that was to become Israel. He brought in William Clark and Elaine von Damm, the secretary for Ronald Reagan that I talk about all the time. But the point is that there was a close relationship, a business relationship between Elmer Bobbs and Warner Lambert, and this is the godfather of the Richard Nixon career, Elmer Bobbs, and he also melds with Patrick Frawley, and Frawley remains the president of a company he has sold to Warner Lambert. There was a proxy fight over Technicolor, some 16 directors had an argument, and some of them resigned. But on the board of Technicolor, very important for the motion picture industry and also for NASA and making a lot of films for NASA, on the board was Senator Murphy, another person that Patrick Frawley put into the Senate and then resigned because, forced to resign because of conflict of interest and payments from Frawley out in California. And one of the directors of Technicolor was Dr. Robert Morris, again, a Knight of Malta, the president of that Dallas University, the fellow that brought the Nazis from Munich, Germany, via General Walker, Volkmar Schmidt, Larry Schmidt, worked with the CIA and the Republic National Bank. Robert Morris was a director of Technicolor, so that the Dallas scene of the YAF gets a little muckier with California Frawley, who is the man that got Ronald Reagan's career started. So he has Ed Butler in New Orleans working with Lee Harvey Oswald to set and seal the motive with Hale Boggs, who would be on the commission, and getting the media to know Oswald's the Marxist. And then to defuse the Young Americans for Freedom, the William Buckley connections, and Douglas Caddy, to the YAF and to Robert Morris and the Munich gang that started coming in 1962 to prepare for the assassination. Morris is in Dallas. Butler is in New Orleans. Frawley is in California, but has a tight hold on them. Now, Frawley supported American Jewish League. That was one of the things that he was active supporting. And it's called the American Jewish League Against Communism. And this was created by Roy Cohn. So Roy Cohn, written in the Torbett document, who's the liaison between Cardinal Spellman and J. Edgar Hoover, of all things, he also works for Patrick Frawley. And he was the former aide, you know, to Senator Joe McCarthy, put into political office with Nazis. And I've written about McCarthy's role to the Nazis in the Rebel article, so that Mr. Roy Cohn worked closely with the Cardinal Menzeni Foundation, headed by Eversharp director Fred Schlafly and Phyllis Schlafly. So the two people that started funding the fundamentalist Christian right also were close to Roy Cohn and to Mr. Patrick Frawley, and they were on the board of Technicolor also. The Schlaflys were on the board of Technicolor along with Patrick Frawley. This was his creation. And you had Robert Morris, and there's Roy Cohn with his own organization set up by Mr. Frawley, the American Jewish League Against Communism. Now, Senator Dodd not only worked at Nuremberg and with the FBI and with Ed Butler, who's talking about Lee Harvey Oswald, but he was very influential in the Senate Internal Subcommittee. And one of the attorneys that worked with the Internal Subcommittee was Robert Morris, who was on the board of Technicolor. I hope I'm not confusing you too much, but there are interconnecting links of people I've talked about before that are very important, going back to the Torbett document and to Ronald Reagan and leading up to him in a minute. Mr. Dodd was vice chairman of the Senate Internal Subcommittee. Robert Morris, the fellow who brought in the YAF from Munich, was the chief counsel of the subcommittee. So Robert Morris is not only on the board of Technicolor with Patrick Frawley out in California, but he's the chief counsel in the Senate for Dodd's internal subcommittee. Dodd was working with Ed Butler on the record. You know, he met with him, had that record in his hand, the recording of the telephone, the radio conversation of Lee Harvey Oswald. And Butler was working at the time for Patrick Frawley. Morris brought the YAF to Dallas. Morris works with Technicolor, and they all have a close bond. Ed Butler, I'm sure, had a good role with his role part with Cardinal Spellman. And J. Edgar Hoover and Roy Cohn, they could be very influential in putting Hale Boggs right on the Warren Commission after his little interview with Lee Harvey Oswald, and seal on the TV and in our minds what happened when John Kennedy was killed. Now, when that Young Americans for Freedom was formed at CUSA, they went to Robert Morris in Dallas, and Morris at the time was not only a member of Young American for Freedom, like Ronald Reagan and Mr. Charles Willoughby and Adolph Monju, the whole gang that worked closely together, but this group had a West Coast mentor in the name of Patrick Frawley, the Knight of Malta from the Vatican. And as I say, I hope this isn't confusing for you, but the network goes from coast to coast, from the Archdiocese in New York with Cardinal Spellman and Roy Cohn, and down New Orleans with Ed Butler and Lee Harvey Oswald and Dr. Alton Ochsner, who I mentioned before, was not only the head of the American Cancer Society, but worked closely with Elmer Bopps and also had a part with Mr. Patrick Frawley out on the West Coast. Bill Buckley was a writer for Frawley's newspaper. He prints the weekly tabloid Twin Circle. It's a Catholic newspaper that he keeps publishing. And the fellow in charge of that newspaper is Reverend Daniel Lyons, described as a hawk in Vietnam, an associate of Mr. Diem in South Korea, the favorite darling of Cardinal Spellman. He became Secretary General to the Free Pacific Association in 1965, and Twin Circle, the publishing magazine that Frawley got out, became a subsidiary of Schick Investment Company. Frawley Enterprises took over the Twin Circle, and they began to sponsor the Bob Hope, Billy Graham days, and honoring them with the Twin Circles, owned jointly by Schick and Technicolor. And they used the Hearst columnists, Jim Bishop, Bob Considine, William Buckley, Phyllis Schlafly, and the Mannions. Both of Clarence Mannion and his wife from the John Birch Society were on the board of Western Goals in 1983-82 with their computer into the Los Angeles Police Department. And Lyons wrote a book, Communism on Trial, and worked with the Young Americans for Freedom in 1968 and continuously with them. He's part of the American Security Council's entourage with Dr. Stephen Poisonet, and I'll do more on that soon. On the World Anti-Communist League and John Singlaub, again of Western Goals and the John Birch Society with the police data computers, and Major Edgar Bundy, all part of Mr. Lyons' team of the anti-peace, pro-Vietnam, anti-communist, very much for the war in Southeast Asia, or anything that the Americans did that would get us whipped up for that war against communism. And they've been working closely together for a long, long time. Now, in the book, Power on the Right, Ed Butler, working for Patrick Frawley, describes his role in Inca as an agent provocateur, which is exactly what he does. And he said he's the private master of agitation professional conflict managers. He said, you infiltrate troublemaking groups, you divert them from their goals, you break up their structure, you create internal dissension. You only need a few people. Sometimes you can drop a tear gas grenade, and you go with the people pretending that you're working with them, and you actually are clubbing their leaders. They are conflict managers, professionals. And I mentioned once before that the attitude they had, that they are the ones that will decide for the people what is good for them. Now, Mr. Frawley also had a fellow that he was very impressed with, an actor in Hollywood. And in the book Power on the Right that I've quoted before for the parts about Lauren Hall and William Seymour and the assassins from Dallas and New Orleans that were in California and were never sent back to trial. In the book Power on the Right, it tells about Mr. Frawley and how he was so close to Phyllis Schlafly. He helped get out that book, A Choice is Not an Echo, that she wrote about Goldwater, Senator Goldwater, and his running for president. But it says Frawley played an equally important role in the political career of Ronald Reagan. The actor's candidacy was, in fact, launched by Frawley and three of California's craggiest conservatives. This is Bill Turner writing. Henry Salvatore of Western Geophysical, oil exploration that's now merged with Litton Industry, auto dealer Holmes Tuttle, and A.C. Rubel of Union Oil. They were all active with Frawley in the Goldwater campaign, and now they perceived in Reagan the man to use to pick up the torch. This is Frawley and Salvatore and these people. Now, they not only select Reagan to pick up the torch in those early days, but they also work, as I say, with Ed Butler and with Robert Morris and Dr. Ochsner and the team that were directly involved with various parts of the assassination. They, like Ronald Reagan, they spearheaded a group for him. Salvatore had raised $1 million for Goldwater, and he began to put other millions of dollars into the Ronald Reagan career. And they pushed this, and along with Mr. Frawley, they had Walter Knott of Knott's Berry Farm. And I mentioned before members of the inner team who picked up Ronald Reagan, and then they got Spencer Roberts. This is the group that went to Spencer Roberts that I mentioned had done the mind control and took care of Ronald Reagan. And they made up their mind that they would make Reagan attractive to the backers in the first place. They would make him tone down a little his speeches, put up a war chest, and put him in the charge of the public relations firm of Spencer and Roberts. And then his swing to the right began, and the witch hunt in Hollywood of George Murphy. And Murphy, again, is on the salary of Technicolor. And then Reagan is active with, begins to date Nancy Davis, whose father is very much part of the American Medical Association. Dr. Ochsner was part of the American Cancer Society. William Donovan was put on the board of the Cancer Society when he came home after World War II with the OSS. The Cancer Society became a very political activity for the spy ring, and that's why I'm suspicious of how much cancer there is today and how fast it is spreading. The book Power and the Right says Frawley was sufficiently buoyed by Reagan's landslide victory in the general election of 1966 to help promote the abortive Reagan for President movement in 1968, but then it got off the ground, and of course the rest is history. Pratt Frawley was instrumental in creating Ronald Reagan. Now, he was also working hard with the various church groups, the ultra-right wing. So you can see why it was important that Reagan not extradite the very people back to the grand jury in New Orleans that might open up a can of worms going to Ed Butler or any of the other conspiracies that Jim Garrison could attach to or associate with the people that he wanted back there, like Gordon Novell from Permandex and Eugene Bradley, and that would lead to the Albert Osborne, the missionary who actually had the school for assassins, and a whole can of worms would have opened up. It was very necessary to stop sending anybody to Jim Garrison and let the investigation fall on its face. In the book, Power on the Right or Danger on the Right, by Bill Turner, he tells about Frawley over and over again with his political links, as I say, to the Schlafly's, who are very close and funding Pat Robertson and the Christian right and making decisions on prayer in school or the Equal Rights Amendment and the anti-women vote that they've mustered together to turn down the right of women to have a lot of opportunities that other people are striving for them to obtain. Those people that work closely with Frawley are part of the American Security Council, and very important with the Roman Catholic hierarchy. And right in the middle of them fit Ed Butler as the employee of Patrick Frawley, doing his role and then coming home from New Orleans after Kennedy was killed to be in the printing business and writing for Frawley and setting up more provocations in Watts and other areas. And Ed Butler, again, was the first person who wrote Did Hate Kill Tate, trying to blame the blacks for the killing of Sharon Tate. So that was while he was working for Patrick Frawley. In this book, Power on the Right, it says J. Fred Schlafly Jr., an Illinois attorney, past president of the ultra-right Defenders of the American Liberty, was part of the Eversharp board. Dr. Alton Ochsner from New Orleans, a physician from New Orleans Information Council of Americas, was on the board of Eversharp Razor. And I'll do more on Eversharp, not the razor, the Schick's the razor, Eversharp's the pen. Fred Schlafly Jr., the Illinois attorney, retired General Thomas S. Power of the American Security Council, and Dr. Alton Ochsner. And again, it was Ochsner on the record. Ochsner, knowing Oswald was a Marxist, a doctor from New Orleans, working with Ed Butler and being on the board of Frawley's Eversharp at the time that this setup is being made to get Lee Harvey Oswald as the patsy and sell us the Marxist story. Well, the time is running out now. I want to do a little bit more on Patrick Frawley, Phyllis Schlafly, Dr. Ochsner, and Ed Butler, and Oswald, and Robert Morris, because I think you can see, or I hope you do, that this is a neat little team that through the years has stayed together and gotten this man into the White House to be president of the United States. This is Mae Brussel. The time is out now, and the tape does run out, so we'll stop, and I'll be back with you next week.